Titus chapter 2. As we continue our study on various methods, how to study the Word of God, and what we are presently looking at is the chapter summary method. The last time we started on the chapter summary method, the object, of course, is for you to know the Word of God better, so that it may make a difference in your life. You know it better, number one. Number two, makes a difference in your life as you put it into practice because you know it better. Chapter summary method. The way you do the chapter summary method is first you pick out the chapter that you would like to take. I took the book of Titus, and that may be one way you want to do it. Maybe for 3 weeks you do the chapter summary method, and then one particular week you read chapter 1. And you read it 5 times. Then after you have read it 5 times, you are going to do the 10 easy steps. Now, the 10 easy steps take quite a bit of writing. They're not done just mentally, but there is writing. And the 10 easy steps are, number 1, your caption. Number 2, contents. Number 3, chief people. Number 4, choice verse. Number 5, crucial words. Number 6, challenges. Number 7, cross-reference. Number 8, Christ scene. Number 9, central lesson. And number 10, conclusion. Now, last time we looked at this, we looked at 2 things. We looked at caption and we looked at contents. We're going to be just concentrating on chapter 2 now of Titus, so that we will do chapter 2 as if we were doing the chapter summary method on Titus chapter 2. And the first thing you do is you give it a caption. That means a title to the chapter. After you've read it 5 times, then you decide to try to just break it down into a word or 3 words or 4 words that describe that chapter to you. It doesn't have to be what somebody else thinks that chapter is, but describe that chapter to you. Now, I put a title to chapter 2. I called it Behavior in the Light of the Blessed Hope. That's a little bit longer than might be ideal, but I thought that that kind of was a capsule and a good caption for Titus chapter 2. And then the second step that you do in the chapter summary method is you write down a summary, an actual summary of the chapter. You might want to summarize what it says in the chapter, or you might want to outline the chapter. You might want to paraphrase what the chapter is saying, or you might want to list points. Any of those things you might do in a matter of contents. I've already gone over that, so we're not going to expand on that. And then number 3, we have chief people. Now, chief people means that you, when you read the chapter, you are looking to see who are the main people in the chapter. And then you ask yourself some questions. Why are they there? What is significant about them? That helps you to learn the chapter as you start to ask those questions. Who are the people in this chapter, and why are they there? What's significant about them? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this chapter to you. It's just 15 verses. I'm going to read the chapter to you. And as I do that, you pick out who the chief people are in the chapter. And then you'll be ready to list them. And when I'm done, I'll ask you to see if the men and the young men would like to take a crack at who they think the chief people are in this chapter. Verse 1, but speak now the things which become a sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. All right. Now, does anybody want to take a crack at who the chief people are in this chapter? Okay, Paul. Okay. There are some that stick out. Aged men and aged women. Anybody else? Greg? Servants. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
Also the younger men.
Younger men. All right. Do you see what happens here? You, as you look for these things, you get to know the chapter better, don't you? Because you're looking to see, you know, what was this talking about? It's talking about what the older men should be doing, what the older women should be doing, what the younger men should be doing, what servants should be doing. See, you know more about the chapter, and you know more about God's will because you know more about the chapter. I got a few more, and of course I have an advantage because I studied this more than you did. You just heard it this once tonight, but I do have a few more chief people in this chapter. Anybody want to take another crack? Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep. And besides those that have been mentioned, I would say that there are two other significant people. In verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern, would refer to Titus. And the one who is speaking, but speak thou, in verse 1, that would be the writer Paul. Now, you know, we've covered them all now. We've covered them all. And in chief people, if you didn't write them down, all of them, that doesn't mean that you got anything wrong, you see. The idea that we're doing is that you're going to know the Word of God better. You're going to know what Titus 2 is about. And so someday, you know, you're sitting there in church and you've done the chapter summary method, and the preacher says, turn to Titus chapter 2. And maybe the thing that stuck out in your mind was, you know, that's where the aged men are supposed to teach and the aged women are supposed to teach and so forth, because you know that portion of Holy Scripture. So the chief people, you may not have them all, but the ones that stand out in your mind as chief, bring your attention to that chapter, and at another time, other things may change. Your emphasis on that chapter at a later time in your life might change. But there you have chief people. That's number 3. So you caption the chapter. That's a title to it, and that's your title to it. Doesn't have to be anybody else's, but your title to it. And then you summarize the contents, number 2. Then you write down the chief people, number 3. And then the 4th step is choice verse. Now, the choice verse is one that could either summarize the chapter for you, or it could speak to you personally. And so what would you pick out as a choice verse? That's entirely up to you, because you are the chooser. With me, if somebody says Titus chapter 2, the first thing that comes into my mind is my choice verse, and always has been for as many years as I can remember. And that is Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the one that speaks to me personally. But maybe you'd want a verse for the chapter that actually summarizes the chapter. And I think verse 15 might be that. It doesn't have the kind of ring to it that you remember, but it summarizes these things, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise it. That kind of is a summary that he's supposed to speak about all of these things, and that might bring to your remembrance what those things were. That is choice verse. So that is a verse, you write it down, and you can memorize that verse, and that verse is the one that will key your memory as to what Titus 2 is all about. And then the fifth step in the chapter summary method is crucial words. All right, you have chief people. Now you're going to crucial words. When you know chief people, you remember things about the chapter, but then the crucial words are going to tell you even more significant things about the chapter. What would you say are the key word or words in this chapter? As I read it before, you weren't looking for it, so you're at a disadvantage here, but if there's somebody who might think that, well, this particular word or that particular word stuck out to me, does anybody want to take a crack at that? Jim? Doctrine, all right. Adorn a doctrine of God. Okay. Anybody else, Paul?
Teach,
right. Okay. That is certainly one. Manny?
Exhort,
okay. All right. Another one is speak. Verse 1, chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he ends with that. Verse 15, these things speak. So he starts with speak, he ends with speak. That certainly is a crucial word. And I think teach is a crucial word. Doctrine is a crucial word. So you note those words in your as you are writing down these things. And then you'll remember it as you review it. Chief people have to do with aged men, aged women, servants, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ, and the words have to do with speaking sound doctrine and teaching sound doctrine. All right, number 6 in the chapter summary method is challenges. A challenge is any difficulty you have with the passage. I mean, it's things you don't understand about the passage. There's lots of Bible passages that or chapters that you could read and have no trouble at all finding something you didn't understand. That's one of the easiest things to do in the Bible is find something you didn't understand. Actually, I think this chapter is a fairly easy chapter, but there could be words. There could be words that you don't understand. And, of course, you could always look up the definitions. But there are certain challenges to actually understand that whole chapter real well. I think of the word sober, you know, in verse 2, the aged men be sober. And it's again in verse 4. And it's again in verse 12. You know, what does that mean? Well, you know, you can see from the context, and if you look it up, it's not just a matter of the fact that they don't drink, but there's a sober-mindedness to them. They are not frivolous and stupid. Another word that might pass a lot of people is the purloining in verse 10, not purloining. What does that mean? You see, that might be a challenge to you to understand what he's saying there. Do you know what purloining is? Who knows? It means stealing from your boss. Okay, in the same verse is fidelity. Back in verse 2, you have temperate. What does temperate mean? Well, you know, it used to take on the meaning in this country, you know, they had the Temperance League, and the Temperance League was trying to get people not to drink booze. Temperance, though, has more to it than just booze. It has a way that you are careful about everything you do, not to get excessive temperate. But I'll tell you what I think might be one of the biggest challenges of this chapter is in verse 3. Look at it in the middle. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Not given to much wine. Now that could be a challenge. Because you're reading this chapter and you're seeking to understand everything about this chapter. You're seeking to know the chapter. And you might come across this and say, not given to much wine? I thought we weren't supposed to drink any wine. Or is wine just like a juice that isn't fermented? And if that's the case, are we not supposed to drink too much? You see, there's a challenge right away. What does it mean? And that the challenge could then bring you to the next portion, and that is cross-reference. Cross-reference. Now, if you have a cross-reference Bible, like a Scofield Bible or a Thompson chain reference, what you do is you might look up the word wine, and next to that word in your Bible, there may be a little letter up there, a little tiny letter or something like that, and then you look in the middle of the column and look for that letter, and it will say wine, and maybe have three or four references where you can look up something about wine. Now, that can lead you into a whole other study. I mean, you can end up then going from the chapter summary method into the word study method. But you have a challenge, and you might want to find out what the answer to it is. What does it mean, not given to much wine? You see? What can that possibly mean? That is difficult, you see. So how do you come up with the answer to that? How do you come up with the answer to not given to much wine? Is it talking about alcoholic wine, or is it talking about grape juice type of wine? How do you come up with that answer? Well, you can't come up with that answer by just thinking about it, by reasoning it out in your mind. So the cross-reference is something that can help you a great deal. You start looking up all the other references to wine. And I have a feeling that if you are really interested, you might do more than one, but you'd look up wine in the Bible and see what other cross-references mean. Not given to much wine. And what do you think you would find at that point? Whether this was alcoholic or not. Well, you might come across a reference in Proverbs that says, look not on the wine when it is red, you know, when it reareth up itself aright in the glass. Little paraphrase there, you know. And what does that tell you? It says, you know, don't even look on it when it's alcoholic. You know, don't even get that close to it. Not a matter of don't take a few drinks of it. It says, don't even look. Don't even get close to that kind of thing when the wine is alcoholic. And so then you say to yourself, well, you know, when it says not given to much wine, it sounds like then it's not talking about alcoholic wine, because the Word of God that teaches an abstinence of alcoholic wine, it says not even to look on it, not even get near it. Another cross-reference for wine you might see is right nearby there in Proverbs. It says wine is a mocker, strong drink is a raging. It doesn't say much wine is a mocker or too much wine is a mocker. It says wine is a mocker. So those passages of Scripture in Proverbs speak of an abstinence, not even abstinence, but a staying away from it. So that much wine, then, you would have to say, maybe you can't say conclusively, but you have to say that much wine would have to do with grape juice. And you might say, well, you know, that doesn't sound right to me. You ought to be able to drink as much grape juice as you want. Well, there may be more to it than that, you know. There may be more to it than that. Because have you had the grape juice squeezed from the grape? Or have you had high C, which is water with sugar on it, and some color added to it, which you could drink a whole lot of it and have a sugar fit? You know, You might find that maybe a person could get themselves sick drinking too much wine. I don't know. But I do know this, that if you do a cross-reference on a word and you start to study all the words in a section of which there is a challenge in that passage of Scripture, it will start to show light as you study the Word of God without prejudice and you just take what you see it means and follow up on it. Cross-reference. All right, one last cross-reference is, let's take servants. Verse 9 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Why would this be important? Well, you know, it tells you some things here about servants. God actually giving you instruction. And the truth is that most of you that work, most of you here that work are servants. You see, if you're working for someone, you're in the same kind of position. You're serving someone if you're working for them. You know, there may be some here that you are bosses or masters, and that might be your part. But this really speaks to you. If you're working for someone, you're serving someone, this is what you ought to be. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Or what are you supposed to be? You're supposed to be obedient to those you're working for. You know, that's almost revolutionary for some people, you know. It really is. Some people think, you know, I got the job, I'm going to do it my way, don't start telling me what to do. You see, but the Word of God says if you're saved, you don't take that attitude. If you're saved, you say to the boss, whatever you say, boss, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's how it works. And I remember I said that to my boss at Spalding, and he was kind of shocked, you know. And it shows you something. All right, the next part of it says, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. What's that mean? You don't argue with your boss. You don't argue. He says, this is the way to do it. You say, I'll do my best to do it your way because you are the boss and I respect that. And it tells you what to do. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing good fidelity. What's good fidelity? Faithfulness to the one you are working for. And what does that do? It adorns the doctrine of God. So they say, this person here, they are very impressive, you know. They talk about their religion, but I can see I like to have this type of person working for me. And so servants is something that you could cross-reference and look up a few other places where it talks about servants, because that is telling you what you should be like when you work for somebody. And if you do it God's way, then you are going to prosper because, one, you're obedient to God, and number two, you are obedient to the boss. Cross-reference could bring you all the places where servants are spoken to, and you can do your part and say, whatever it says for servants, that's what I'm going to do, and you will be successful. All right, that is seven, and we'll leave three more for the next time. But let me just review the chapter summary method. I hope that you are seeing something now. I hope that you're seeing the idea. And the idea is that as you write these things down, and you've read the chapter five times, and then you write down a title for the chapter, the caption, then you kind of summarize the chapter. And then I lost my place here. Then you go to the chief people. Can you see what's happening as you do this? As you struggle for a title of the chapter, you're learning the chapter better. as you try to boil down a summary of the chapter, you're learning the chapter better. You're learning what's in the chapter. As you single out the chief people in the chapter, now you're seeing the contents of it and the people who are involved in it. Then you get a choice verse that kind of keys your mind as to what that chapter is about, and crucial words and challenges and cross-references. Once you do these things, what happens? You're starting to get an understanding of that chapter. You're starting to know that chapter. And there's a lot of important things in that chapter that have to do with your own behavior, aren't there? And you're going to know them a whole lot better because you've been writing down these various aspects of the chapter. And when you're done with it, you're going to have a good idea what Titus chapter 2 is all about. All right. We'll pick it up at Christ's scene in the next one. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come before Thee. We pray, Lord, that as those folks hear these things and put them into practice in their life, that they might be of great blessing to everything that they do and understand the Word of God, and then in doing the Word of God, they will be blessed. We pray, Lord, that folks might desire with all their heart to do that which is written in the Word of God and to apply themselves to this study. We pray and we trust Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.